Welcome, Kuni. Welcome, everybody, to our Thursday Fish Talk. Remember that this is a call-in show. Our lines are 907-543-5985, 543-2756. From outside of Bethel, 1-800-995-8954. Those are the call lines through the phone. Email kufgradio@kyuk.org. Welcome, Magaluji. I have two guests here. I'm expecting three more from our Fish and Wildlife Reserve. I'll have the two that I have here introduce themselves, where they work, and what's planned ahead, or even the numbers on some of the openers that we had. Yakidakwa, I will start with you, Tris.
Okay. Koyana Sam, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Therese Vicente with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. Happy to be here again.
Yeah. And Madison?
Goyana, good afternoon. This is Madison Hardwig with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm the Kuskokwim Area Assistant Management Biologist.
Yeah, this Madison is new here. She is sitting in place of Sam Dicker from the state. And she had told me that she had some reports that she needed to get out. Maybe we'll start with you and hear what you have for our listeners out there.
Absolutely. Goyana Sam. So I have a couple numbers just from the weir and the sonar. So I can start with our sonar summary. These numbers are from the 16th. So for King's Chinook, the daily passage yesterday was 671 for a cumulative passage of 113,858. That is just a little bit below the average cumulative run from 2024. And we estimate that 94 to 97% of the run is complete for the Chinook. Mm-hmm. So as for Chum, the daily passage yesterday was 20,484. Wow. Cumulative would be 121,994. And then again, that's just a little bit below of the average cumulative for 2024. And so 2024's number was 158,352. And that right now we're standing at 54 to 76% of the run has been complete. Sockeye, daily was 16,975. For cumulative was 836,399. In comparison to last year's total was 643,992. So quite a jump from last year. Mm-hmm. And we anticipate or estimate that we're about 84 to 90% complete with the run. And we're starting to see coho now, so that's exciting.
Uh-huh.
Our daily yesterday was 941 past the sonar. So for our total cumulative thus far is 6,699. Ooh. And the cumulative from last year, I believe this might be a typo, so I'll nix reporting that without confidence, but we estimate at being at 1 to 3% done with coho, so they're just starting out. But uh-huh. That is all the numbers I have for sonar.
Yeah, usually by about this time, they're kind of mixed up, mm-hmm. mixed of different species of salmon, the chum, the sockeye, and the coho. Which is good for someone like me. I get mixture of fish in one set. Do you have anything to add there, Tris?
Just that, and we're happy to see the sonar project continuing. It's been really useful this year since Bethel Test Fishery is no longer operating. And our Fish Commission, we announced some, well, not we, but after consultation with Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge, the refuge manager, Spencer Reardon, announced some opportunities last Thursday evening after our show. So I could share those out for anyone who's still looking to fish on the Kuskokwim if you're a federally qualified subsistence user. So there was a drift and set net opportunity last Saturday. And there's another one coming up this Saturday, July 19th, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Same gillnet restrictions as usual for the past season. And right now, set netting with a 6-inch, up to 6-inch mesh, up to 75 feet is open 24/7 in federal waters of the main stem. Wow. Kuskokwim.
Yeah.
From the mouth up to the Kalskag line. So that'll be open until July 26th at 10 o'clock p.m. So another week and a half or so. If anyone wants to set a net, you are welcome to do so. So we know, seems like most people are kind of in between fishing and berries and waiting for silvers right now. So it's good to hear that the sonar is starting to count some silver salmon, and they seem to be doing okay so far this early in the season. So we'll be keeping an eye on that as they keep coming up our river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're, my wife and I were planning to go do berry picking depending on the weather. It's too rainy, maybe maybe further on down the month. But usually when we make plans to go, we usually follow through and go whether or not the weather, because to me, when the weather is bad, it's just usually just me and my wife out there picking. So it usually works out. But I'm looking forward to do the silver run. We usually do our canning and jarring one day hang, one day smoke with our strip type canning for those, and then fresh out of the water. After we clean them, we do canning. And the reason being behind that is if there is any kind of a disaster happening, we'll have something to fall back on in the winter, or like even a war, you know, when that starts. And with what Russia is doing and America is trying to help out I don't know. It's kind of chilly because we're so close to Russia. And beware, you know, keep your ears open towards those things. Keep a watch on what's being, especially with what our president is saying of what the decisions are when they're making with the effort of ending that war between the two countries there. It's eerie because we're so close to them. But anyway, we still haven't heard from the reserve personnel here, and they're not here yet. But they're coming, right?
I'm on the line here.
Oh, so you guys are on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, introduce yourselves, please.
Whakakuinga Imataugo, Emmet Nikrai, one of the refuge information technicians with the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. And Therese already mentioned that there'll be another drift opportunity on the 19th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Until July 26 at 10 p.m. And we also have our fish recording line. It's 907-543-3151. And to speak with someone at our office, the number is 907-302-5144.
Okay, Chris and Cook, pick up a cut through your cognitive clue. Expect the rear comes a day, no clue.
Oh,
after I'm over the phone, pick up a sinuji.
Yeah,
a spit give it,
Yeah, Kima.
Okay,
put away freezer fish and got what we need for the winter or freezer fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to encourage the public to throw their waste somewhere other than where there's human traffic. I noticed there was some strong scent right below Crowley.
Fishing opportunity. Yuchtun jali pikaku. Need chocolate, yuchtun biluku.
Okay, yeah. Puskok fagumi, ikin kajikok, July 19, 7 o'clock. Ikikluni, unokumi. Atakumisu Taksuni 7 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Nukaitu 6 inch or less mesh, 45 meshes in depth and 300 feet below the Johnson, plus 25 fathoms, 150 feet above the Johnson. Petugatsu, July 12th through July 26th, Ikinkaluni Huanikpak, 24/7 until 10 o'clock p.m. on the 26th.
Ii, Koyana. Aguna Awai, Nriunik Kurasputa. I've been expecting to have that river wide open, and it's happening with set nets. Do you have anything that you want to report?
Yeah, I have some.
Some more?
Yeah, I have some management updates, and then I could go in and talk about the weir numbers. But
okay, this is Madison.
Yes, this is Madison with Fish and Game. Just for anyone who's listening from Quinnahawk, the Sunday closure is over now, and that was over on July 15th, so now there's no closure restrictions on the bay or the bay rivers. And then for management updates, we are about to start with aerial surveys, and so both myself and Sam, the area manager, will be doing our peak escapement surveys on the river and the bay. So if you see us flying over, don't hesitate to wave at us. So that is the biggest update in terms of like what we are up to. But for weir information, we're starting to get some good numbers coming in. We have crew on the tat right now, but as for the ones that are running and active, I got quite a lot of data and papers to go through, so bear with me. But our first weir on the salmon, their passage of Chinook so far is 168, And in comparison, the five-year average is 262. For the George River on their Chinook Salmon Passage, they're at 1,096, and that compares to the five-year average at 2,000. The Kerguelec, their passage is at 1,524 kings, and that is above the five-year average of 1,244. Our last king number is on the Takotna River Weir. Their passage as of yesterday was 82, and that's about the same as the five-year average at 88. So that is all I have for Chinook counts, but going on to Chum Passage, the Salmon River in Aniak, I should specify, is at 441 as of the 15th, and that is above the five-year average of 128. The George River Passage of Chum was at 952. This is from yesterday, and in comparison to the five-year average that is below, their average is 2,327. The Kerguelec Chum Passage is at 6,411, and that's quite above what the five-year average is at 944, and that number was from yesterday. Takotna River Weir had a passage of 870, in comparing to the five-year average that is above, their average was 338. Now going into our sockeye numbers, Salmon River in Aniak does not have a count yet for sockeye, but at this time last year the average was at 2, so not missing much.
Mm-hmm.
Kerguelec Passage of sockeye as of yesterday was 1,708, and that is above the five-year average of 245 for the same day. And the last number I have for you from our weirs is from the Talaquina River, and the passage as of yesterday for sockeye was 27,817. And in comparison to the five-year average, that is above the 13,583 number.
I'm hearing some pretty good numbers on some of those returns.
They're pretty good. I think the comparison to the average is promising to look at.
Yeah. And Coho, I hope they shoot up too. Do you have anything to add there, Tris?
I'll actually see. I think Kevin Whitworth with the Kuskokwim Fish Commission is online. Maybe he could introduce himself and chime in.
Okay. Do we have Kevin online? Can we have
good
him
afternoon.
introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Good afternoon, Sam. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, I've been on for most of the show. We had phone issues there at the beginning, but thank you, Sam, BYUK, for hosting this radio show. I'm on, and I don't have any other input at this time. Therese has covered a lot of what Fish Commission has, and I heard the weir update. I am curious if Fish and Game wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit of the not the five-year average, but the longer-term averages and how those compare to the numbers now.
Kevin, I know that you're pretty good at keeping your eye out or your ears open for the catch numbers that they have in false past. Do you have anything on that at the moment?
Catch numbers for which fish?
The Area M, False Pass area.
Oh. Yes, we do have that. So as of, just look this up, as of, so they, we have tracked through June, the fisheries in July now. Mm-hmm. So June is when most of the Chum salmon are caught in Area M. And as of June 30th, 165,000 chum salmon have been caught, and about 2,200 of Chinook salmon. That's the Area M June fishery. That is the intercept down in False Pass area and San Point area, in that area. And it is low from last the past 2 years. I don't know if it's indicating, like, overall chum abundance right now is low compared to years past, but I am hearing that the fleet there, they do tend to, in a board cycle year, tend to catch less. They run, but they do use that against our efforts to try to limit them and try to limit their catch there in the area of fishery.
That's good to know. Thank you, Kevin. Tris, do you have anything to add to Kevin's report on the False Pass area?
Yeah, I can add a little bit. So there was an article put out by the Alaska News Desk, Alaska Public Media, a couple days ago. It's on our Facebook page if folks haven't seen it. But like Kevin was saying, they're getting almost record low harvest down in the South Alaska Peninsula, or that's what they're reporting. And some of their fleet are chalking it up to trying to take more conservative measures to protect the Western Alaska chum salmon. That could be part of it. It could be, like Kevin was saying, just the trying to line up the politics of it before the Board of Fish meeting next February. But we're also seeing relatively low chum catches in the Bering Sea pollock trawl fishery, their bycatch there. Again, could be because there's a lot of pressure on them to do better, but there could just be really low numbers of chum right now too. We've seen a couple heat waves, lots of impacts from hatchery fish in the ocean, lots of impacts over time from all the removals from bycatch and intercept. So it could be we're just seeing less chum out in the ocean right now, too. It's, I don't know if anyone has the clearest answer, but there is a Area M Board of Fisheries meeting coming up next winter from February 18th through the 24th in Anchorage. That's February 2026. And about two weeks before that, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council is going to be taking final action on chum salmon bycatch management in the Bering Sea pollock trawl fishery. They just announced last Friday that they'll be taking that up in February. They'll meet also in Anchorage from February 2nd until the 11th of 2026. So some potentially big management decisions are coming down the pipeline for chum intercept in Area M and chum bycatch in the Bering Sea. So we'll definitely be in touch with our tribal communities, other interested members of the public. We're working with tribal partners across the state to make sure people are aware of these meetings and aware of how they can engage. So more information to come.
Mm-hmm. On those meetings that are coming up, you're going to be involved in that, are you?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. I work with our team at the Kuskokwim Fish Commission and our member tribes and other partners, too, to help kind of analyze the documents, provide recommendations and things like that. I'm always happy to help people, you know, submit written comments, sign up for testimony, figure out how they can get to Anchorage to attend these meetings, give recommendations to tribal councils. We're happy to support our tribes in any ways like that.
Mm-hmm. And if anyone, any of the leaders from the villages wanting to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, call our office, 907-545-7388, and ask for Therese Vicente. I'd be happy to set up a time to meet, to talk, however we can support our tribes. We want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Email?
My email is my first name, Therese, T-E-R-E-S-E, at K kritfc.org. I laugh, it's alphabet soup, but it's on our website too, cuscosalmon.org. You can find my contact information and that for all of our staff there too.
Mm-hmm. Madison, do you have anything to add to what Tris was saying and Kevin about Area M, and where does the state stand on this?
Well, I will be being so new to the area, and how the two regions interplay with each other is something that I'm actively learning. But we are here to listen to what the community is feeling and what they are trying to have their voice be heard as. And so just like Therese can help with Board of Fish, like we also can help with comments on proposals mm-hmm. from the community. Sam, the manager, and myself will be participating in BOF this year as well. Board of Fisheries, so you can come and reach out to us as well, and we'll see if Therese and the two of us can help. We can certainly see if more voices can be heard and maybe action can be taken. But they covered it quite well.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to go through state and contact you, where would they call and email if you have it?
Absolutely. So our office number, you can call the office at 907-543-2433, and you can ask for either Madison, me, or Sam. And then my email is madison.hardwig@alaska.gov. And then Sam's email as well is sam.dec.ker@alaska.gov.
And Emmett, spetuka makunun pik jam kanhkan khdin.
Nu hui kanhkaito, but if anyone would like announcements for fishing, our fish recording line is 907-543-3151 and to speak to someone at our office number is 907-302-3144
Okay. Koyana, akut away uksuku kuyuhlutin pikata amani nunak pagmiyan kuchami away February mi apha doni kuyu riskata ukutwani intertribal fish commission nani bilrit chiungakani ukut unani imakbim illo ni tralakalutin bilrit ukutlu area amamnunini bilrit piuailigata ukut chium kuyuqqartlu kingoritun jali ukut kanane ak commercially king akisulutin khanqnik billigit kuyuqchiqut tamakunun jam kanqanqqufchi trissaqwaniawai number ani dunlho jalillu email ani unallu statam jali bilra Madison and Sam jaliawai contact number ating biluki tamakhamuk ukuk ilagauchiquk tammani pikata jam kimum kanqanqqanqqakkunuk pikanqqufchi nuna ligni yuyayagartukutta manikusqoqfim kuihpimlu illoni billerit tai mallu aguna kuihpagmakqayagaul last week unnomktaim billhuyaqqaqa unnomksaliqayagaruluku piskumayak lugu taim ni chukuniku ni ayaga ulu ni chali akukut apkutus ni pinnegay chali ni chukunilgay ni kayaga ulu chibiyukuf chi phone line apu ukuk malgu sinniuk 1-800-995-8954 tau ku toi pingayon at hulu kay piyok nga che ko che. Cham ki mo mag kanak lugo tungkakumkunuk kwanay kwa lainat iking kaut chale su asanak apit kang kakuf siyo kuktungi kinun kwas emat nam pehani reserve ame pilaka Kevin Lock so kamay Kuigam kangyan ka McGrath ame post aw malakto ka ap chukuf chiu kaisun kawanin kitpichit nik ap chuk akwani kuinga su ap chukuyak suku Kevin, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm wondering how the run has been with Kings in your area this year compared to, let's take 3 years or 5 years, 5 years back, compared to 5 years in the past that we have, comparing to this year's run.
Yeah, I can answer that. Overall, this year on the cut, we're getting down to the end of the run, but 5% of the run complete based on run timing with the sonar.
Mm-hmm.
The run came in down, remember, you all remember the harvest data and the fishers were saying came in strong early on. And that's when the headwater fish come in, really in early June. So that portion of the run came in strong. It was looking like a larger run, like 2019, if you remember that year, Sam. But then there was a time period where third day passage at the sonar really slowed down, which concerned folks. That early part is now up in the upper country, and I'm hearing reports that people from Kalai, they're at Salmon Fishing now, they're fishing, and they're getting decent numbers of fish. This is a rod and reel fishery, a small tributary up in the Pitka Fork above Nebraska, and they are there now fishing. So they're at their fish camps. They're going there this week, last week, they're going there. They had a funeral in town too, so they had people were slowed down. Here in McGrath, there was good catches too on that first pulse, decent numbers of fish being caught. And, I don't know, maybe I would imagine it was better than last year. They were a little bit bigger than this last year, too. And so it's a positive. There's some fish in the river this year, even up here.
Yeah, we had positive reports from last year, too, in your area. Probably a little bit higher number from last year will be great. Kuyana Kevin.
Yeah, Sam, can I add a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Overall, so there's working with ONC and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we produce harvest estimates for the lower river from Tunt to Tuitsac. And we do community-based harvest monitoring interviews. ONC is really heavily involved with the interviews there in Bethel and the boat harbor and fish camps there. And we counted roughly 34,000, almost 34,500 or so Chinook salmon caught this year. And that's a little bit from last year or the year before. About 22,000 chumps and about 32,000 sockeye. Coho just starting, you know, we're at 20 coho, but decent numbers of chinook were caught, especially in that early part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did on our first opener in our area here. I had people reporting to me with good numbers on their catches. I myself did not too bad. We're pretty much getting done in our area with the coho and the chum reds. We're pretty much getting ready to be going out berry picking. So I was kind of hoping that the run would be pretty high, reaching up into your areas, and it looks like it did. Kuya Nakluni, Tris, do you have anything else that you want to report to our listeners out there?
I just want to encourage listeners to call in if they could, and I know this is a fish show, but if you have any berry reports, I've been hearing salmon berries, you know, starting to ripen in places here and there, but the blueberries aren't looking too good. No. So I'm a berry picker. I want to hear people's updates too, but you know, it's all related. So people, just encourage listeners to call in and talk with us about anything, fishing updates, berry updates. Do you want to share the numbers again, Sam, or want me to, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. People could call in at 543-5985, 543-2796, outside Bethel, 800-995-8954. And I think you can email radio at kyuk.org. Yep.
Yeah. On those numbers, the 5985 is out of commission. Ooh. At the moment. We have 907-543-2756, and also that 800 number, 995-8954. Madison, do you have anything else that you want to throw at the people, our listeners out there?
I don't have anything else to update besides our sonar and weir numbers. Just like Therese said, I'm interested in hearing about berries as well. Mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, once the fish move out and coho, you know, start trickling in, it is berry time. So
yeah, and I'm beginning to see swallows dwindling down too. That means that gnats are going to be coming out soon. Mm-hmm. As soon as the swallows disappear, then the gnats come out. Nasty little buggers. and when we're berry picking and there's no wind, have mercy. But when we are out there, we deal with just about anything that the weather is going to throw at us. And last year, when my wife and I went out, the weather was real bad. But we had a canvas tent and we had a stove, wood stove. And when the rain started, it kept us warm. My grandson and I, we'd go out and pick and let my wife, she stayed back and kept the stove going. So when we got back, there was cooked meal and a warm tent. and we dried up our clothes that got damped through the raincoats, so it worked out well. And when we traveled home, it looked like we were the only ones out in that area. Mm-hmm. There was no other tents, no other boats around there. And we did very well. We went out just that one trip, and we picked nearly, say about 30 gallons wow. of salmon berries.
Awesome.
And this year, I'm going back into that general area on our first trip and see how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we head up into the Johnson River on our first trip, and then if we make the second trip, then it will be going downriver because the berries are a little slower ripening up in the lower Kuskokwim area. So, and blueberries, I haven't heard anything on blueberries. Last year, there was nothing. Absolutely no one made reports of blueberries. My wife and I went and checked, and where we picked, there was absolutely nothing.
Wow.
But we picked greens instead when we were out there. So there was something there for us to pick. But yeah, I'd like to have maybe at least one caller do a report or ask questions. We'd like to hear how the berries are in your areas, coast area, Quigg or Eek, Gwynhaq. We'd like to hear from the tundra area if how's the berries doing up there. Or are we going to keep quiet and keep everybody out? but we get around. Word starts to spread as the days get into the ripening of the salmon berries. See Kitaki, Pamak and Kasigilum from back home. Stanley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sam. Namah Chishni Junilani. Good afternoon, Nakaluchi. Yeah. On that meeting that's coming up in February with the North Pacific Marine Fisheries Commission, I would like to advise all the delegates that are going to that meeting to find someone who has powers that be to really push for a moratorium on those trawlers in Area M. I'm a commercial fisherman. I have a fishing permit. I haven't fished in 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that last year we fished, we had only two openings for silvers. If they put those trawlers in Area M, fishermen, they'll cry so loud, I don't know. They're not even from the state of Alaska, a lot of those fishermen. We haven't had any disaster relief funds, monies for commercial fishermen, not even a penny. And when they got funds for commercial fishermen, they put in the requirements so nobody qualified for disaster relief money for commercial fishermen permit holders. The requirement was you have to have landed salmon or sold salmon year 2019 or 2021, one of those years. And the last time we fished commercially was 2015, so that wiped out every commercial fisherman. Kuskokwim region. That doesn't sound fair, right? Does that sound fair or not?
No, not at all.
We have a right to cry, but when we cry and there's funds, it gets diverted because there's some smart people out there that know how to juggle things around. Okay, well, I'm tired. I'm on my lunch break, so.
Yeah, berries. Can you throw?
They're slow. We've had some cold weather in the beginning and few warm spells here and there. They're pretty slow up here right now. They're not ripe yet. Most of them aren't.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Even unagavat. In Rayaman Pakhtlim Niawai, Chalito, maybe I saw maybe two. I Nriyatlung Malrugnikaru Malrigan. That was it. Rest yeah. was hard, and most of them Chali Green Arlutung.
Yeah, for as long as I could remember, we used to start picking after the 20th of July. For a long time.
We have about maybe 15 minutes left, or 10 minutes left. Hwani, need kriyuk need tris, on the trawlers. Do you have anything new that you would be something that would be feasible for us or against us in the rivers that has been happening with trawlers out there?
Well, I can share some updated numbers from today. So as of
update. Today.
Yeah, usually every Thursday they post the latest chum bycatch and king salmon bycatch numbers. So as of this morning, there's been a reported 16,456 Chinook salmon taken as bycatch and 8,251 chum salmon. That's in the Bering Sea for all fisheries, though it's often the pollock trawlers that take the most of both of those. And those aren't just, you know, Kuskokwim fish or Yukon fish. It's all the salmon. But usually about 50% of the king salmon bycatch is from western and interior Alaska, and somewhere around 20% of the chum salmon. There's an entity down in Bristol Bay called the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute. They're kind of the science arm of BBEDC, Bristol Bay Economic Development Corp. But they've been doing in-season genetic testing on the chum bycatch in the nearshore pollock fishery. I just saw their latest report this morning, and for the first week of July, they estimate that about 16% of all the chum bycatch taken by that inshore fishery was from Western and Interior Alaska. Mm-hmm. So that's higher than it's been in recent years. This is when we're seeing chum salmon from our region moving through their fishing grounds. And most of the chum bycatch occurs in that near shore fishery. They're, you know, I think they have to fish within, oh, I don't want to missay, but they can't go too far from shore because they have to deliver their catch back to the processing plants on land. But there's more chum bycatch taken in the at-sea fishing vessels, mm-hmm. processing vessels as well. So, so those numbers are publicly available. It's really great that BBSRI is doing this study, because normally we have to wait a year or more to get the genetic information and see how many Western Alaska fish were caught. So it's been good to know in just about real time.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big jump from 1% from the past reports that were 1% of the fish that they are hauling in are bound for here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16%. Wow, that's pretty high.
They being the North Pacific Council and National Marine Fisheries Service, they try to make these estimates so we can get numbers of fish going back to large genetic groups. So for Western Alaska, it's from Kotzebue all the way down to Bristol Bay, all the rivers in there, and then we can separate fall chum on the Yukon because they're genetically distinct. But they have these models to try to estimate in a given year how much of the bycatch from that group would have returned to spawn this year. They're somewhat able to do it with king salmon, but they're not really able to do it with chum salmon. But that's often where they say it's has maybe a 1% impact. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, our tribal leaders and knowledge holders on the rivers would say that it's a much greater than 1% okay. impact. And even, you know, 1% of the fish can be a lot of fish in those yeah. really high bycatch years. And over time has a really, really big impact. I think we're seeing the results of that now on top of climate change impacts yeah. to salmon, too.
Yeah, thank you. Madison, do you have anything to add to what Tris was reporting?
Yeah, I can report just a little bit of... in terms of that percentage. So currently the state has the SOAP program, which is like the Salmon Ocean Ecology Program, and they're doing Bering Sea surveys both in the North and South Bering Sea. And they've seen, they're able to separate the genetic stocks. And so when we report like Western Alaska stocks, just like Therese was saying, it does cover a big area, and this particular the SOAP program is able to differentiate on what it anticipates as Kuskokwim bound fish, mm-hmm. and that is a smaller percentage than 16%, mm-hmm. but that is comparing the two data sets, so who knows how that actually lines up, but just mm-hmm. some interesting information to keep in mind. And just like Therese was saying, any percent of fish that is bound for a certain drainage is impactful, especially for the community members. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that, you know, salmon in the ocean are getting smaller and they're having less food in their stomach, so mm-hmm. they're not getting bigger. They're not bringing back mm-hmm. as much to their environment. And some anecdotal reports that we're hearing along the river, along the Kuskokwim River, is that kings specifically are not having as voluminous skeins of eggs, and so eggs mm-hmm. are getting smaller, and it seems like they're not taking up as much as the abdominal cavity of the king. So when you put all those factors together, it really impacts like what returns and what goes back out mm-hmm. to the ocean. So
yeah, we only have about 2 minutes left. Closing remark, Emmett, we'll start with you. Closing remark.
Ethically, dump your food waste in places where there's no human traffic. Mm-hmm. And other than that, we will be having our next meeting next week on Wednesday to make further decisions.
Tris?
I hope berry pickers have good luck next couple weeks. And if you have any questions about fish, you can give our office a call, 545-7388.
Madison? Yeah, Guyana Sam. So we have the working group meeting that will not be meeting next week, but will be meeting on the 30th. So hopefully by that time, we can hear about coho catches berry catches, mm-hmm. or berry picking, not catching. So that is open to members of the public, and you can hear what our different management groups are up to. And if you have any other updates or questions for Fish and Game, feel free to call our office at 907-543-2433. And we're trying to be pretty active on our Facebook, so you can always look at our Facebook too.
Yeah, physical address. I forgot to ask about it. Your physical address, where is it?
Oh, I can't pull that off the top of my head, but if you go down to the AC, mm-hmm. you know, you take a right.
Fourth Avenue.
There you go.
Right at the end, right where old Killbuck School used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Tris? Physical address.
Our Fish Commission office here in Bethel is at 125 North Avenue, Apartment C in Hoffman, right across from the post office.
And we're out of time. Mm-hmm.